Blog Talk Radio.
We don't want no devils in the house.
Yes,
we want the Lord.
Yes, Jesus. Yes,
Lord. Have the mercy.
Yes,
Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Yes,
Hallelujah.
We on a ultralight beam, we on a ultralight beam. This is a God dream, this is a God dream. This is everything. This is everything. Deliver us serenity, deliver us peace, deliver us love, and we know we need it. You know we need it. You know we need it. Now I'm in you now. Pray for Paris. Pray for the parents. This is a God dream. This is a God dream. This is a God dream. We on a ultralight beam. We on a ultralight beam. This is a God dream. This is a God dream, this is everything, everything.
I'm trying to keep my faith, but I'm looking for more, somewhere I can feel safe, and in my holy war.
The pressure, not blessing. Why, oh, why you do me wrong? Whoa. You persecute the weak because it makes you feel so strong. Hey. Don't have much friends to fight, so I look to the light. Whoa. Don't make these wrongs turn right. Head up high, I look to the light. Hey, cause I know that you'll make everything alright. And I know that you'll take good care of your child. Oh, no. I'm afraid of the night, cause I look to the light.
If they come for you, I will shield your name. I will feel their questions, I will feel your pain. No one can judge. They don't know. Put on the devil's neck to the drifted Pangea. I'm moving all my family from Chatham to Zambia. Treat the demons just like Pam. I mean, I fuck with your friends, but damn, Gina. I've been this way since Arthur was anteater. Now they wanna hit me with the woo after bam. Trying to send photos of family. My daughter look just like Sia, you can't see her. You can feel the lyric, your spirit coming in braille. Coming out of the underground, come and follow the trail. I made Sunday candy, I'm never going to hell. I met Kanye West, I'm never going to fail. You tell us do a good ass job with Chance 3. I hear you gotta sell it to snatch the Grammy. Let's make it so free and the bar so hard that the day one gosh darn part you can't tweet. This is my part, nobody else speak.
This is my part, nobody else speak. This little light of mine, glory be to God, yeah.
I'ma make sure that they go where they can't go. If they don't wanna ride, I'ma still give them raincoats. Know what God said, I wanna make the first rainbow. Just throw this at the end of fucking play for the intro. I'm just having fun with it. You know that a nigga was lost. I laugh in my head cause I bet that my ex looking back like a pillar of salt. Cause if that's the script on your ass like Wesley and Spike, you cannot mess with the light. Look at Luciano from 79. We on a ultralight beam, we on a ultralight beam. This is a God dream, this is a God dream. This is everything. Everything.
I'm trying to keep my faith, but I'm looking for more. Somewhere I can feel safe. And in my holy
world. Father, this prayer's for everyone that feels they're not good enough. This prayer's for everybody that feels that they're too messed up. For everyone that feels they said I'm sorry too many times. You can never go too far when you can't come back home again. That's why I need...
What's up, Dwayne?
All right, testing 1, 2. We are live, direct, and effect tonight. Man, we made it. We did it. We are here. Dumb in. What's going on with the camera? Where is my camera at tonight? Oh, gotta be part of the stream. There we go. We're part of the stream now. You ready? Ready for rock? Rock and roll. Well, greetings, ladies and gentlemen. You have tuned into a special edition of BZNZ, the Manhood Edition, Father's Day Eve, Happy Juneteenth, and you all are in for a treat with the amount of wisdom that is sitting in this room tonight. You are in for a treat. I am here at the Gary Muslim Center, and I'm excited to be here. We had a ball, I would say, last year. Around this time, we had a ball, and I'm here this year around this time, and we're going to have another ball. We have in the building visiting with us. We have in the building, we visiting with us. We have our brother, Dwayne Anthony from Scrutinize This. Then in the middle, we have Imam Charles Abdullah. And on the end, we have my 20-year mentor, Mr. Benny Cappy. And we all are here tonight to have a candid discussion about manhood on the Father's Day Eve. Now, before I get started, yes, I got whipped up already by a few women because they said, how can you have a Father's Day discussion with the men, but you never did that for Mother's Day? Okay, I can explain that. The thought, the adult came after Mother's Day. I said, hey, I might just, you know, I think I should have a Father's Day discussion. So next year, ladies, number one, I'm not going to be leading this discussion anyway because I'm not a mother and I'm not a woman. So next year, ladies, pick who's going to lead it. I'm just going to work the boards for you because that's another conversation that I would love to hear as well. So starting up, let me ask the brother starting up. We're gonna be real candid. Share your age and let us know if you're married tonight, because we're gonna talk about dating for a little minute. Oh, I go ahead.
I'm 40 years old.
Let me put the mic up a little bit too. 40 years old and single. Okay. Yes, sir. All right.
I've been married. I'm 83 years old and counting.
What? 83. Ooh-wee. Tell you, wisdom is in the building. Okay, I like to ask, okay, ma'am, Charles, how many years you been married?
I've been married,
Well, tell me, what is the secret? Because nowadays people they not lasting that long.
Around the house. It was like, I wouldn't have all the stuff that a woman would have around the house. So I leave her alone, and I'm just looking at her and see how she do. Women, they're entirely different in everything. So if you leave that woman alone, she'll make you a good wife. But if you try to be the woman and the man too, she ain't gonna make no good wife.
So it sounds like to me though, when you say that you was cleaning and she watched, she would say, okay, I'm gonna do it like that. It sounded like you was teaching a low key.
Here's what it is now. I like this. When we get to eating and the stuff is in the sink, I wash the dishes. I just automatically wash the dishes and everything. I like to get I like for the pots and everything. I like for all that stuff to be out of the kitchen. So I clean. I wash this. She look and she don't like it. Women don't. I know they're all women, but my women, the ones out there, they don't like to wash dishes. They like to cook. They like to fix your food there, but they don't like to wash dishes. And she saw me washing the dishes and everything, and that's exactly how we got to go. She liked that. She liked to see me washing the dishes. And I wash the dishes. I don't mind washing dishes.
Okay. You know, wait, we're going to put the camera back on me. Now, men, young men, this is some advice that we can take. We got to learn how to wash the dishes. You know, from what was just spoken, it sounds like there's a give and take, okay? She gonna do something, you gonna do something, and that's how it's just gonna happen. I wanna hear from Dwayne too, because I know Dwayne been married something. I've never been married, so we're gonna hear from Dwayne and see, how did it go with you all? You wash, she cook?
Hey, well, I mean, for me, I was pretty much always the worker. The first marriage, married my high school sweetheart, woman that I grew up in church with, married 3 years. Didn't have any children or anything like that, but I did come into that being a stepfather, so I'm a child. And so, yeah, so like my brother next to me, you know, there was a lot of tests and trials, learning all of that. Being a man who wasn't raised by his father, had my grandfather's being around church men, pastors, ministers, and elders, and different things like that, I found myself really doing the best of picking everything. And I had honest intentions, but I probably wasn't ready completely. I thought that coming in, being married the first time, was just about providing. It was just about going to work. It was just about, you know, making sure certain things are taken care of. But I hadn't learned how to sow seed into my wife. Okay. I hadn't learned how to do that, because it's easy to lay down with someone, but there's a spiritual side of sowing seed as well. And that's why a lot of relationships, I believe, don't make it, because we haven't been taught how to properly be that husband and master of the soil. So I had one part, honest intentions, but there were a lot of other things that could have been better had I had a little bit more tutelage on that. I probably but you know, I always gave a helping hand if I was off. I remember in that marriage, I would tell her all the time, when I'm off, you know, when I'm off of work, we're off in the house. You know, and so that's kind of how it would be. You know, I would make sure I give a helping hand as possible. You know, when I was at work my 5 days, I'd come home and she would be free and go do whatever she wanted to do. I had the house to take care of that and try to get. I agree that there are a lot of give and take. So you just have to be willing, because with your mate, you're an extra set of eyes. So as you just said earlier, you know, basically you can't drive and be a navigator.
Okay, because I'll go ahead, Mr. Kent.
Could I add a little something? Because not only do I wash dishes at home, okay, I told you that at the start I was hen-pecked and I have a lot of hen-house ways. I get on my hands and knees and scrub our floors, kitchen floors and stuff like that. Okay, I can't cook. I don't even try.
Stop that, Mr. Cavie.
Okay, I can't boil water.
Mr. Cavie used to cook eggs and bacon all the time.
That's for me to eat.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't give anybody else that garbage. Taking care of the house and keeping things spotlessly clean, cleaning the yard up, I do all of that. And just when it comes to making a house a home, you have to have that wife input.
Yes, sir.
Because she knows how to get certain curtains and this and that, all that is enough flower arrangements and all that stuff. And that's what makes a home beautiful. Okay, she adds something to a man. That's why she's his helpmeet. She's fit for him. She's the best thing could ever happen to him.
So let me ask. So it sounds like that there were rights and roles and responsibilities.
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm saying because we live in, this is 2021, and women, the way some of these 2021 women, they don't really believe that there should be rights, roles, and responsibility. They believe that I'm just going to do what I very well please, whatever I want to do.
You can't. You know what? There's no such thing as a 50-50 proposition when you're married. It's, I might have to give 75% or 100% or even over that. But that's what marriage is. It's together. And you can pull a load. You know why they use normally two oxen to pull a load? Because it's easier on the both of them. Yeah. The same rule applies when it comes to marriage. Don't try going it alone. You're going to have a lot of sleepless nights. Get you a woman. The Bible says it's better to marry
than to burn.
Than to burn in your lust.
Right, right.
Get you a woman.
Yes, sir.
Be careful.
Yeah,
some tricksters out here.
Well, you know what? We about 5 or 10 minutes in, and that's some good teaching right there, because that's what it's about tonight, straight up manhood. Because some of us men, we mess up with these women, and our elders is speaking tonight, telling us how to keep it together. Go ahead.
In a marriage comes from the so-called head. Mm-hmm. Is the man, whatever that's supposed to mean. It means absolutely nothing unless you can share your love, unless you can cry, unless you have emotions and feelings for the wife. You are not really man. Jesus wept, didn't he?
He did.
And he was so powerful that he went into a synagogue once and whooped up a bunch of us, didn't he? By himself. So that's not your manhood. Your manhood is how humble can you be? How graceful can you be? And first of all, how much do you know about God?
Yes, sir.
Are you willing to humble yourself under the Lord and be as submissive to him as you want that woman to be to you? Then you are man.
So the man that submits to God
absolutely
gets the girl.
Qualified.
Okay.
And the truth.
Okay.
Don't forget the pit.
I'm with all that. Submitting to God first.
Absolutely. Put him first above anything and everything, including that joker that you shave every morning.
Ooh.
Put him ahead of that.
Ooh-wee. All right. That's setting the tone for what it's going to be like. That's setting the tone for what it's going to be like tonight. I'm here getting the game from the elders, because I know I do a lot of speaking on Thursday nights, about myself. So I really want the elders to talk to us, because it's just, just some behavior as men that we really must stop doing, okay? We must stop trying to, go around there muscling these women, too. We can't muscle these women. We can't do that. But because the thing is, it's really easy to just let the woman alone, versus trying to, pull your belt up. Wait, hold on. The elders are talking. I got to let them talk. What you say, Mr. Cap?
I don't know nothing about no curtains. I don't know how to go pick this and pick that and what pots and this and that to use and stuff like that. Let alone, let them do that. That's how stuff. That's what they enjoy. Most women like to shop. If you don't believe it, pull out a $100 bill, leave it on the dresser and walk out. She'll take care of it.
So, but now let me ask, okay, what it sound like, though, it sound like there was a line of respect, too.
Absolutely.
A certain amount of respect, and that's something that our ladies, I would love for our ladies to speak on, because I feel that a lot of men are being disrespected by our women.
A woman wants security. A man wants respect.
Absolutely.
Okay? If she gives him respect, he'll act like he's Tarzan.
Most definitely.
To take care of it, okay? But she needs to know that she is secure. In other words, when she's walking down the street with you, she don't want to see you winking and blinking and sticking at the woman across the street. So she don't want you doing that. You got her. Make her the eyes of your eyes. Okay? It's just that simple. It's not a job. You're with this woman. Respect her. In all things, respect her. Yes. And you know what else you're doing at that time? You're respecting yourself. And you're training your children, if you have any, to do the same thing.
Even if she is doing wrong and treating you wrong. I'm going to speak up for some of our other brothers that's having problems.
Sometimes that happens, okay? But normally, I'm saying normally, and this is not normal, but it is normally, the problem in most marriages is in the male.
Okay.
And I hate to say that because that's us. But us and mess up a whole lot of times.
Okay.
I have to.
Yeah, you agree, Brother Charles?
Yeah, I agree. When you're young and the man, I was a young man once, I was raised, I wanted to do the right thing, you know. I was taught to do the right thing, around parents, you know, stuff during that time with parents and
drinking stuff.
Yeah. I wasn't raised like that. So, but the wife I married, she had been raised like that, you know, and everything. So that was one of the things that we had. And everything. So I didn't know nothing about going out. Somebody said to me, well, we need to go out and have some fun. I thought going to the church to the park and then swinging and having a nice time. I thought that was a nice time. But that wasn't like that. That was one of the big issues that I had, and everything. So my sister, she knew about stuff like that. So she said, I'm going to tell you what she really wants. She said, I'll see the She was complaining that we wasn't going out. We wasn't going out. And I said, what do you mean ain't going out? I took you to the park. I took you to the show. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was going out sufficient, but that wasn't what she saw myself. So that was one of the issues that we had. But I do want to say this. You have to, for a man, he has to lead a woman. And let her be a woman. Her mother raised her as she was raised by her mother, raised by her father, to be a mother. And if she had to leave her like that, you know, he wanted to break that mold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the woman, if she's had children, she already know how to raise children. And when you get like I am, you got a wife that have already raised her own children,
mm-hmm.
and then she raised her grandchildren. She's gonna help raise the grandchildren, so she knows how. You can't come in and dictate to her about how to do things because she's already did that. I stepped back and I said, "Well, this mom, she raised a home daughter, and I look at her and daughters and sons, and she raised the grandchildren, so she knows what she's doing." And everything. So I stepped back and leave her that way. Sometimes she may make a decision that it may not fit well with you, but you just have to bite it and suck it in.
Mm-hmm.
You have to suck that in and don't say nothing,
yes,
because if you say something about it, she's going to get bent out of shape.
Mm. Okay, yeah. I've known that to be true in some of my relationships I've been in. Say something, well, you know what, I tell you what, I won't do it no more then.
Yeah.
Like, well, no, I didn't say don't do it no more. Maybe can we just do it a different way?
Yeah.
That's all.
Don't do it. Leave it at it.
Okay.
You want to say it, but
right,
don't say it. Because if you say it, you're going to mess up. She won't let you forget it after that.
Mm-hmm.
Always bring it up.
You're right.
Keep bringing it up. Just leave it alone. Let her go. Even though you don't see it to be that way, let her go and do it that way.
Right.
Let her go and do it that way. Just leave her like she is, and don't try to change it. Just go and do what you
want
to do, and leave it at that.
Yeah, we're definitely supposed to be the temperature setters.
Yeah.
I was talking to a friend of mine last night, my barber, and we're actually pretty close. we're just talking about those beginning stages when he had first opened up his barbershop. And just his wife has always been extremely supportive. He opened up about some things about how hard it was in the beginning, but he trying to believe God for some of the things that she spoke to him. But when they found the barbershop that was meant to be in, there was a lot of things that happened before that. We talked about coming home. His wife had ended up walking in. He said, "Baby, we're not coming home, man. This, that, that. We're not bringing it home." And she was like, "Yeah, it was hard then too, because women have a long memory." And so,
don't forget nothing, do they?
I've been in there. You know, you hear this, you come home bad, you bring that issue in.
Yeah.
Now, you got a long day at work. And now, when you all good, that temperature you set. So now, when she brings it up later, now it's a whole other issue. Like, where did it come from? So, that goes into what I was talking about, because you have to be a husband, but you have to also be a husband. So, they're two different things. And so, being able to be a master of the soil.
Yes.
See, then this dynamic that God set so strategically, we are the farmer. And so we have to study it. We have to get our master's in that. But see, we should have mastered ourselves before. Because by the time, I said the other day, there's a miscommunication.
Right.
People don't understand one flesh, one spirit. When the two become, when the woman and the man come together, that's one spirit, but your one flesh is your child. So if you've mastered yourselves, and now once your child is born, they're looking at you. The combination
True.
Of both.
True.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just a lot of things that go, and that's why I say I agree that a lot of things are the man because you're chosen.
Sure.
The Bible talks about breaking up the fallow ground. There's a lot of things that you have to test your soul. You have to know what you choose, because it's a lot of shenanigans out here. And so I want to avoid that by really being self-aware with yourself as a man about what you really want, that walk out, what you talk about. Because you're saying, some people say, I want this monogamous relationship. But then, as you said, they're looking all over the place.
I was wondering.
They're lying to yourself. So now that causes issues. It's a lot of things, but you definitely have to choose your soil and bed it well so you know the proper seeds to put there. Because you've mastered you, now you're mastering her.
Let me bag it back a little bit. I want to ask the question. I know I didn't answer the last question, so I'm going to answer. I'm 38, single. Now I want to ask our panelists, we're going to bag it back and ask, was they raised by their mother and father? I think Dwayne said his, but we're going to go back around. We want to ask that, because we want to start talking about some of the behavior of men, okay? You know, just behavior. Where do we get some of our mannerisms? And, you know, where do we get, dealing with the opposite sex? Because some men, they really don't know how to deal with the opposite sex. We talk about a man being raised by his woman. By his mother. Now, I was raised by my mother, but, my mother, she had all kind of men around me that when I acted up, they snatched me real quick. They put me in line real quick. So let me go around the room.
All right. Yes, I was not raised by either parent. My grandparents were both sides. My grandmother and grandfather, they stepped in and they helped. My grandparents remarried. So I had my step-grandmother, grandfather, grandmother, step-grandfather, and I was in the home of my grandmother and my step-grandmother. So there was a helping, grandfather, my grandfather lived in Illinois. I was raised in Gary, Indiana, grew up in Gary, graduated out here. Go to church right here down the street, I ain't tell you. But they would allow you to do it. So that's how I got my upbringing. Unfortunately, I never spoke to my father until 2012. I was 31 years old. That was the first time I had an opportunity to talk to him. And I was becoming a father with my first father. I was my second father. So, and then my mother, she had a lot of challenges. She, you know, had lost bouts with addiction with drugs. So she ended up in prison. And she didn't. She wasn't released until literally like a week before I walked across the stage to graduate.
Mm.
So my grandparents and the men of the church, they really stepped in to help me, you know, guide me in the right direction. And I thank God for that.
You mad, man?
I started off early in the South, and so I'm raised on a farm. I was raised on a farm until I was about four or five years old. It was an empty room to the city. So when you move to the city, when you're in the country, where enough of dirt is. You know, you don't get in trouble because you don't have anything down there but, you know, hogs and cows and horses and stuff like that. But you don't, you little boy, you don't get in trouble. Your parents are raising you and molding.
Mm-hmm.
They molding you. See, your mother's molding. And my mother, I was with my father and mother until I got about 5 years old. Okay. Then at that time, conditions changed down there. They had cotton picking and chopping and stuff like things changed. So they had cotton pickers and other things to do the work. So the men began to go north and everything. So my father went north to get a job. And when my father went north to get a job, he found a job and sent for my mother. But my mother went and checked it out. She said, I'm just going to see who I like. See, that was a mistake there. She wanted to see if she liked. She went there, she didn't like, thank Lord. So she came back there, she didn't go. So that's how me and my mother and my father split like that.
Mm.
He stayed in St. Louis, she came back to Arkansas. And everything. But in the meantime, my mother taught me something that children need to learn. That's why they get in trouble. That's why they go to jail. And I've never been in jail. I've never been locked up and everything because my mother gave me a whooping because she looked at, you know, children will take things. She was sure to walk and they'll take things.
Right.
And they steal. Mm-hmm. My child won't steal. Your child will steal.
Absolutely.
And that's what I was, little taking things. So I went into the store. My mother would give me some money. And there was one particular time she had some money at the house. I'm in the house searching all over the house. She's working. I'm in the house searching all over the house. I go and buy, it was maybe going to 10 or 20. I find, go to the store and buy me some cologne and some crap and stuff. And then I go with my mother working until I'm home. And I threw the money away. All the change, I threw it away. Down, you know, just so it hid it over here and hid it in the bushes
mm-hmm.
where my mother worked. And so I you know, I'm home. She told me where the money is. I go home. Oh, Lord, I threw the money away.
Mm.
So now I got to go and try to find the money. This is a child, you know. I was about maybe six, seven years old, you know, and I go and try to find him. I couldn't find it all. And then I take and go. And back to the store and buy some more bologna and crap. And when I should have kept the money so I could have a show with my mother's attendant. My mother gave me a blue. I went back and told her. She came to ask for a change, but I told her this is all he gave me and everything. Tell her to lie on that main. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so my mother took me to the store, asked the man, said, what about this? I said, you didn't give my son all this. He said, yes, I did. And told him how the man told her how many times I came in there.
Mm-hmm.
And man, she took me back home and she whooped me good.
Mm-hmm.
I got two or three good whoopings just like that.
Mm-hmm.
That straightened me out. That's the thing that women don't do to their children today.
Yeah.
They don't whoop them little boys. But
you got to
bend that child and make him bend like he's supposed to be. And if otherwise he ain't gonna make no good man for nobody. And it was like, I was able to get a job. I when I came out of school and everything, I went to the post office. First, I went to went to Westfield and got a job out there. And before that, when I came out of school, I decided to go and stay around the house, you know, just go and walk around. I was not even going to get a job. My mother said, no, you're going to go look for your job. And so she the one pushed me out there to get a job. And then she sent me to the post office. She told me to go take the test at the post office. I went there and took the test at the post office. I went there and took the test. I passed it. And then she told me, I was waiting, how come they didn't call me? So I go and, yeah, and they said, well, we put you on the list and everything. We don't call you according to the list. So they don't call you right away. So then she found this, talked to a lady downtown at the courthouse down at the 40th. For then, they had a courthouse down there, and it was rocked away real good then.
Mm-hmm.
So she went down there, and the lady told me to come down there. She talked with me, and the way I talked and everything, she said, well, okay. So she called out on the phone and called out the resident and talked to the director out there and told her about me and everything. He told me to come out there. So I went out there and got a job right away, like there, everything. I worked out there for state job I did. I worked out there, and then the post office called. So I was working both jobs and everything. But see, to skip a lot of that, see, I was able to retire from the post office. A lot of people came to the post office, and they got fired because they couldn't come to work on time.
Right.
They couldn't deliver the mail, going to mail, right? And they was taking stuff that they couldn't be taking. And I was able to go through there and get, and they told me one day, they said, man, you made it when I got really tired. Because if you're not raised right, you're going to take things that you ain't supposed to take.
Come on.
You're going to steal.
Teach.
You're going to steal it. And it's the child, he can't understand how he got fired. Because mama didn't do her job that you took.
Mm.
Mama have to do that. Dad is at work. He can't do the job. Mama have to do that. Mama have to bend that child like she been in metal and working with metal and working with cloth or whatever she's working with and make that child the way he's supposed to, mold him like he's supposed to be. If she don't do it, he ain't gonna make the mama no good husband.
Mm-hmm.
He just ain't gonna be right. The mother is the one that's gonna be molding that child. I have to hear that. And the father, he has a job. He has to take it, and the maintenance. He has to make sure that that woman got what she needs to do what she got to do at that house. Otherwise, she can't do it, and she can't mold that child.
I'm gonna say this before I get to Mr. Cappy real quick. Hey, brother Charles, your man Charles. Hey, he's telling the truth because the thing is that my mother. That's a little joke I tell, and I got it from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. My mother, we didn't need no man in the house because my mother, she was just that militant tail. She'd run a man up out of the house, and that's just it. Because no, she didn't play no games. My mother had two boys, so the boys, she ride on the boys. I say my sister kind of got away, but not me. I didn't get away with nothing, and that's right. Those lessons, as far as stealing, telling lies, them lessons, I learned them real quick. Like, I can't do that because she whooped them up out of me.
Yeah,
let me get to Mr. Cassidy.
Okay. I can relate to everything that Brother Charles was saying because that is something that a lot of us have done, and I say us. A line is a thing that a lot of us have done. But you know what? As you get older, you learn better. You should do better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was a child, my mother would say to me sometimes, look me in.
Were you raised by a mother and father?
Both.
Okay.
Both. But basically, like he said, the mother spent more time with me than my dad because he worked.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
However, but let me talk about this lying issue. I was notorious. My mother would say to me sometimes, look me in the eye.
Mm-hmm.
And repeat what you just said.
Right.
Now, I don't know if any of you have ever seen The Exorcist.
Yeah.
How the head's going around like a box.
Yeah.
I could not hold my face straight, look my mother in the eye and tell a lie because my head would start turning and I couldn't stop it. She knew that I was lying and I was thinking to myself after she got to ripping my behind for lying.
How did she know? I was a bad giveaway. Because my head picked me up in the air and just turned me around. I could never look her straight in the eye and say the same thing over and over again.
She already knew.
She already knew I was a liar. But she beat the pace for lying out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point now, I skirt lying. I don't lie. I skirt lying, if you can figure out what that means.
And men, I'm gonna say this, men, these are some great gems that we can that we learn from a kid that we can take even into marriage, even into to fatherhood, because you know you don't want to lie to that woman. You know, a lot of men, they try to lie to their wife because they don't think she gonna find out. But come on, what's done in the dark gonna what come to the light?
Women, from the time they're little, they know how to program a man.
My daughter
worked me like a sick man does a lemon. Squeeze the salt and beat it hard. Amen.
At the age of 3 years old, she was doing it. I already know. That's how my niece got it.
Would do me, and when they turned the water works on, I just became a pillow of salt. I couldn't.
You mean when they started crying?
When they start crying,
give you the Betty Boop, give you the Betty Boop eye.
Absolutely. So man has to learn to be strong. And the way I started that was, whenever my daughters would come to me with some kind of junk that I was confused about, I tried to handle.
They talk to your mother.
Go talk to your mama.
Okay.
I don't want to talk to you.
She'll get it out of them.
And she would straighten them out. But this is good, and you need that balance.
Yes.
They know what they know, and they know how to manipulate a man from the time they're little. They got you.
Hey, you know, I want to say this, because I'm so glad that you just said balance. We need balance, because we live in a world where, like people is teaching, they teaching being single. I understand mastering singleness. Yes, that's something that we must do is master singleness, but at the end of the day, do you want to be single forever?
No.
Come on, talk to me.
We need to know how to inner work and intertwine with one another. We know how to give and take.
Yes.
But don't ever go into a marriage thinking it's 50-50. I got 50 on it, she got the half. No, it's not going to work like that. Sometimes you may have to put it all in. Sometimes you can put a little in, and sometimes it may be. But I don't even bother to count it. Put into a marriage 100%, and you'll get 100%. That's my belief. I don't believe there's a woman alive who will mistreat a man if he treats her like a lady.
That's fine. I like that's one of the videos that I featured on my YouTube channel, and I've talked to Todd so many times about it. Around the time that whole shenanigan stuff came out about Will Smith and his wife.
The entanglement.
It's crazy what Todd said, because I heard a gentleman say it the other day. It's like, that's what you're faced with today. You know, women will tell you, oh, we're just talking. We got an entanglement. We got a situationship. You can't allow them to dictate the rules of engagement.
Come on.
You just can't.
Right.
That's the first opportunity you would have to leave. To make it clear what your intention is, because, you know, you don't want to be in a situation where you're allowing that happen with your woman, and then you're allowing, you're not hearing me, and I've heard that pretty much all my life long. You know, men that had daughters, oh, I'm wrapped around their little fingers. No way. I got 20 girls. They don't control me at all.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as you said, there's those moments, and I have. Those are mine. Because I'm not going to
play
no games, because I know I love them.
Right.
But I understand, I'm learning as a young man that I have to prepare them for the world that's real.
Right.
That's why I love what you said. I have to eat that, because it is on us. Because there's so many fathers who have crumbled to their daughters, and they sit those entitled young ladies out into this world.
Right.
And they are dictated so much to their type of
game.
Now you have men thinking that they're supposed to give these women Walt Disney classics. You are making them your guy.
That's right.
Black wow. women make pimps. Black women make pimps.
Black women make
absolutely. Black women make pimps.
Mm.
Isn't that cute? But she wouldn't allow her husband to do the same thing.
Right.
He got five little girlfriends. Honey, ain't that cute? No, that's not.
Right.
He needs to know how to respect women.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that there's a one-on-one thing with a woman. You don't have 40 women and you be out bragging to your buddy, man, I got 40 women.
40
you ain't got 40 cents.
Let's get on something else too, because this is the thing that we have to talk about too. What I mean, and this is all going full circle with the whole type topic of manhood and dating and marriage. Man, we really got to learn how to wash our behinds. I'm just gonna say that because
physically
because I think this is something that, you know, I've watched a lot of dating shows and stuff like that, and I be around a lot of men. You know, I used to work with a lot of men, and I'm like, man, this is not normal. Some of these men, they think it's normal to just wake up at night, you know, wash their underarms and not put no deodorant, some Suave or Degree or whatever up under their arms. They think that's natural. They say, oh, this is natural sex. But, you know, you offended me right now.
Cleanliness is also healthy.
Yes, sir.
And a practice of cleanliness is good for not only you as an individual,
mm-hmm.
but for people who have to encounter you
yep.
on a regular, especially your wife.
Courtesy.
And your children, I wouldn't say that third, but your children as well. They need to see you taking a bath, taking a shower, doing whatever. And it's no harm for your children to see you kiss your wife.
Come on.
To hug her and to tell her that you love her.
They need to see affection.
Well, they need to see that.
Mm-hmm.
They learn what they see. What
yes.
they see you do, they practice that.
Right.
Okay? And the main thing they need to know, this is why a thing I had to learn was whatever the wife says to the children, the man needs to back it up.
Right.
We need to be in unison when the kids come to us, because they're trying to divide us.
Mm-hmm.
They're slick.
Yeah.
You know, when mama, daddy said I could... See, and that's what used to mess me up.
With the girls, right.
With them girls I had. Now, my son, I can own his eyeball. But my daughter, they put me in a bad position.
Yeah.
Because I just didn't know how to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
But I learned. Lord knows I learned. You've got to be strict. You've got to be a disciplinarian. You've got to be a lover. You've got to be a provider. You've got to be the priest. And that's one thing that a lot of men neglect, being the priest.
They're not taking their respectful roles. That's what I'm saying.
Let those kids see you pray
mm-hmm.
constantly. Let them see you beg God for deliverance, understanding, and stuff. Talk to the Lord in front of your children. Let them see you have to get down on your knees and humble yourself in front of the Lord. That is a key thing to do in front of the children.
You know what? I got to say something. You know, I was having a conversation the other day about alpha male and beta male, and I was asked the question, which one do you identify with? And you know what? I've never, ever identified with neither one. I've never called myself no alpha or beta. I just say, you know, I identify with being real, because at the end of the day, yes, I was taught, you know, raised up by all the men that was around me. Yeah, men don't cry, men don't do this. But a man got feelings, though, don't he?
Absolutely. And it's no harm to let your children see you cry. Listen, man, if someone dies in the family and your children see you at a funeral shedding tears, that's a good thing.
Yes, sir.
That shows that you have compassion. That shows that you've got feelings. You know what? I don't know why some of us think that if I can cuss like a sailor, that makes me a man.
No, not at all.
It shows my doggone ignorance. If every other word coming out of my mouth is a swear word, nobody's impressed by that.
Come on.
They think I'm as stupid as all get out. Mm-hmm. If every time they see me, I'm cussing my kids and cussing my wife.
Come on.
They look at me like, well, you're the fool that picked them people that you're talking about.
Yeah.
They're yours. And so that's not impressive at all. But when they see you humble yourself in front of God, especially, they have respect not only for you,
but they know that they better respect God.
And also admit that you're wrong, too, sometimes. Because some people just can't admit that they're wrong.
I shed a many tears. I don't like for people to see me crying, but I bit my finger with, you know, when I'm out working. I bit myself with the hammer, and I didn't say, thank God, I hit.
I know you said something else. I already know.
I hid myself and went and cried, man. Don't that thing hurt? But I didn't want them to see me cry. But I cried.
Brother Charles?
Yeah, let me say, you know, like curse and stuff like that, you know, so my mother, she didn't curse.
Mm-hmm.
And my father didn't curse. You know, and I don't like the people to curse around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't like the people. And see, when you get a, if you're looking for a wife, you don't want a wife that's cursing. Mm-hmm. So you can tell, you don't want to get a wife that look good to you, eyeball. You want to find a woman that fits your personality.
Yes, sir.
And everything. So if you find if you go to a house and the mother is cursing, you can guarantee that daughter's gonna be cursing.
Cursing just like her, right?
Yeah. She's gonna curse you out. You know?
Yeah.
So when choosing, you want a wife, because this woman's gonna be your child, gonna be the mother of your children.
Right.
So you got to be very careful when you choose a woman, you know, that you want to get a woman. You try to get a nice, we always want to try to get a good woman.
Oh, of course.
But we also got to look for more than that. We got to look for a woman with some sense and with some decent moral sense and everything.
Yes.
So that's what you want, because you want somebody to be able to raise your children, to raise your boys, to raise your daughters and everything like that. So my father, I never heard my father curse. I never heard my mother curse. Not to say some hard stuff, you know, maybe like that and everything. And I wasn't in that. I wasn't in that kind of environment. And my mother never did so.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't curse. I don't curse.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very important in a family, because you don't want a woman that's gonna curse you out, that you gonna call you a bad word and everything after you get married to her. You make a mistake. Says, you know, that you shouldn't make everything. And then she's going to say, you call you a, you going to say, what you call me at for, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, you're going to be really offended by that.
Yeah.
So not if that's going to be a real breakdown in the
marriage.
Sign
of disrespect, too. That's what I like, the disrespect.
Yeah, disrespect. So now the marriage is on the downhill now.
Yeah.
She did it one time, she's going to do it again. Or either the man, it could be the man called a woman out of her name. And she said, what is this thing coming from right here?
I didn't see this before the marriage.
Yeah, I didn't see this before. So that's not going to be the last time he do it. He's going to do it again. If he did his first time, he's going to do it again. And so you have to be, so what you're looking for, a husband, a woman, look at the family. You know, look at the family. You know, not just look at her, because she be looking good. And she's going to put on her best. Or either he's going to put on his best.
Right.
But you just go there to the family. I want to meet your mother. I can't meet your mother and father, you know, and your sister and brother. You go around there and look and see how they act and see, you know, what you got.
Ooh, I want to ask y'all the question. I got to ask the elders a question. Do you think it's a good idea when you looking for a mate to see them at their lowest? Because they can keep up a facade for 2-3 years.
Okay.
But, you know, seeing when they, you know, when they is intense, when they upset, to see, like, can I really handle this woman while she's upset like this? Because it seems like some women, when they get upset, they get disrespectful when they get upset. And then after they come out of it, they're all nice and smiley again. So what do you all think?
You're absolutely right. And that's why I love what you said. Number one, going back to what Ms. Kathy said earlier, because I don't want to forget, he spoke a lot of characteristics that describe what is true protection. As we talked about a few days ago, you know, we're not walking outside as men every day, putting up our shoes and pulling out pieces. You know?
Right, right.
That's so. Just like they said, we shouldn't be looking for a certain thing solely for a woman. A lot of these women don't understand how much they cheat themselves, just thinking that if he's 6'9", he's built. Oh, he's just gonna protect me. I want a holy thug. I want a holy bad
boy. Uh-huh.
There's no such thing. But what they're trying to say is, as one of my family members once told a female family member, that's their way of saying that's what they want for protection. But the way that you protect as a man is to be the example that Mr. Kathy said. Every time you see your father praying, every time you see him open up his emotions, every time you see him move in his manhood, you're getting an opportunity to see his protection.
Come on.
If your children are coming to you, they need advice. That's protection. Your wife coming to you and you're saying, you know what, baby, I've looked at the budget. You might not want to do that. And I know when they're still digging, it wasn't until they bumped their head that they understood what you were trying to do. Because now that's a fight. So it's a lot of things that just have to be unlearned and retaught a lot of times when you get older. That's a lot of things I had to, you know, once I became a man, I understood that, you know what, grandmother and granddaddy did their best. Now it's time for me to take this journey with the Lord and learn, unlearn some things and learn some things again. And I tell people, you never stop learning. You never stop learning. So you're always supposed to be putting yourself in an advantageous situation to learn as much as possible. Because as I said before, it's constant downloading to your woman, because going back to Mr. Kathy talking about the fit, yes, your woman is supposed to be tailored to you. If you've ever had a suit tailored to you, you know what I'm talking about. You have to have her tailored to you. That car, that's why I love the intelligence that God put on men to create the car. Because there has to be a driver, there has to be a passenger. Why is that? Because there is an extra set of eyes to do things you can never do. And that's why you can't never walk over her. Because she's going to be your eyes.
Right.
She's going to be your peripheral. She's going to be everything you need. You got children, she's dealing with them too. Her hair's all over the place. But you cannot walk over. And that starts at the beginning with intentions. That starts at the beginning with, like Mr. Charles was saying, you have to see how she deals. If you go out on a date and y'all in a taxi cab, pay attention to how she treats the taxi cab. Pay attention to how, man, I used to have to tell my ex so much, we're not tipping that waiter like that. We're going to tip them like this.
Okay.
Because some people ain't even used to tipping. And I'm like, we're not walking away from the table with that, what you just did.
Yeah.
We're going to do more. We're going to, you know, like,
okay.
You know,
you said the standard.
I'm letting her understand. That's a livelihood. And I'm paying attention to the way that you're treating that person.
Right, right.
Now you get around the family, all of a sudden, I come out their mouth because okay, you're cussing and blah, blah, blah with your people. If we get in a worse situation, like you just said, Ty, no, I don't want to deal with
that. What you going to do with me? Right,
you
know what I'm saying?
It's going to come back to you.
It's going to come out.
So this is how you test your soil. Mm-hmm. And you understand that the farmer has to leave repairs his ground. He doesn't just go to sleep there.
Right.
And yes, we are the fault for choosing whatever ground we started with.
Right.
So all good stuff.
Yeah. Anything else, Mr. Cash?
No, I just like for men to respect themselves. And the way you respect yourself, and if I want respect from you folks, I must respect you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I can't come to you with a lot of negative stuff and expect you to be positive. That doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to want and demand some respect from other people, I must give it first.
Mm-hmm.
And the first place I need to start giving it is at the home.
Mm-hmm.
That woman that I have, the reason the good Lord says you're no longer two, you're one, is because whatever you do to her, remember you're doing it to yourself.
Well, let me ask this, because I don't know if y'all hit on this. Okay, you were talking about when your children seeing you show affection to the wife.
Good.
And all of that. Now, what about children seeing you upset as well, like your son? Because I know the sons stay around their father a lot.
Absolutely. But you have to realize that teeth and gums fall out. And every now and then, we're not going to agree 100% on everything.
Mm-hmm.
But a total responsibility for whatever decisions are made are upon the male.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? In other words, let me put it to you like this. In the garden, although Eve committed the second sin, God didn't jump on her
he waited until that man got out of line. Because that's the one he told, I want you to do exactly what I say, and don't disobey me. Now, the minute you get out of line, we got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
The woman, she clowned. Yes, she did. She ate fruit that she wasn't supposed to eat. But he didn't get upset with her at that point.
That's a whole nother subject about that fruit.
The man.
Mr. Cappy already know. He already know how I feel about what he did in the garden.
But whatever, the Lord got bent out of shape when Adam messed up. Because, man, I'm going to say this to all men listening. No matter what goes on in your house, make sure that you are obeying God and
most
doing
definitely.
What God was going
most
to
do. Definitely.
Always treat God as your husband, man.
Yes.
This ain't got nothing to do with sex and all of this and that. This is putting God in his rightful place.
Mm-hmm.
He's the boss. And whatever rules he has set up for you and that wife,
mm-hmm.
that you must follow.
Yes.
There's no getting around it because he knows better than you.
Mm-hmm.
He knows the end before the beginning ever starts.
Mm-hmm.
He knows every roll of the dice. He knows every trick of the trade, and don't ever think that you can fool.
Yes, sir.
He knows what you're thinking and going to say before you even say it.
Yeah.
So now, would I want God to catch me saying this to my wife? Would I want God disciplining my children in this manner while I'm all mad and stuff and drunk? Would God want me to throw all of my money away and not take care of my wife's grocery stuff that she's got to buy and the kids' tuition and the car note, the light and the gas? Would God want me doing that? I don't think so. We have to respect God. And when you respect him and know how to respect him, I think you'll do pretty good with a wife.
Well, I'm going to say this. I know a guy that I hear him talk about how he lost his temper one time in front of his son. He said they used to go and hoop on the basketball court all the time. And his son now is in college, might be getting ready to hoop in the NBA. But when he was a kid, he said that he was out there hooping. They all got into it and got to fighting. And I'm going to tell you what he said he did. He said, you know what? He said his son seen it. And that made him feel bad. Like, man, my son seen me get into it with these men. And we was in there fighting and all that.
Right.
So what he did, he said he went and grabbed his son. And he talked to his son. He apologized to him. He said, I wasn't supposed to act like that. That was not characteristic behavior of what a man is supposed to do. And then he said he brought his son to all the other men and apologized. He said he put his son in the middle and all the other men stood around and said, we're a community now.
You know, it's not a shame. It's not a problem to say, I'm sorry. Forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
I made a mistake. These things happen because we're all imperfect beings.
Yes.
I make a mistake every day of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I walk in the kitchen looking for something, open the refrigerator, and guess what? I don't even remember
what you want.
What I wanted is coming up on the first
place.
Now, when the wife says to me, what you don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. But you see, we all make mistakes. Every pencil that I've seen has an eraser on it.
Uh-huh.
The reason for the eraser is because we all make mistakes.
Right.
Shoot, I've said things that I have no business saying. I've done things that I have no business saying. And I've done some things that I wish the Lord would just totally erase. But I did it. I'm sorry for it. I don't want nobody else to know how stupid I was. But I've done stupid stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to open it up. We got two other brothers here in the building. I know one of them said he wanted to say something at some time. And we got a brother sitting on the steps. If he wanted to say anything,
on,
are you good? Okay, brother. What's your name? Brother Esau, he going to come to the mic. Cap is going to give him his. Stay right there.
I don't know
out there. Hey, I'm gonna say this though. I can't grab the camera, but I'm gonna say this. I am enjoying just listening to the elders speak to us because every now and then we need it. We need to sit amongst the elders and listen to the wisdom. All right, greetings, brother Esau.
Greetings.
Labor Salon, brother. So you've been listening to us so far. Tell us Anything you like to add to the conversation?
Well, I'd like to say that I'm in agreement with everything Ben said. I've been sitting back listening, and I'm in agreement because the man, we must, we was created first.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that all the responsibility was on Adam.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when Adam got lonely, right,
mm-hmm.
and God saw that he was lonely, he created Eve, right, the woman.
Mm-hmm.
And how many Eves did he create for Adam?
One.
Yeah, it is. Now, I know a lot of women do that. But he knew that there was going to come a time when there was going to be drugs, walls, feminine diseases and things, that the women's going to outnumber the men. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so one man had to take on more responsibility, you know, another wife, whatever, not so because of the way the world is. I think they outnumber about 10 to 1.
Yeah, about 8 to 1.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So it's not enough men to go around, but it's plenty of women to go around.
Mm.
But that's another story. But the thing is this here. God tells the man the secret to the man and woman relationship is treat the woman. In the scriptures, he says, treat the woman. Treat the girl good. Some places they treat the girl good, but treat the woman good, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the key, goodness. Because all goodness comes from God. He don't send no evil. He don't send no hardships and, you know, that is it. Everything comes from him is good. When you have a good dream, that comes from him. When you have a bad dream, that comes from Satan.
Now let me ask you. Okay, when you have to let a girl go, is that you still treating her good? My brother nodded his head over there. He said, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You treat them, that's the key. Treat them good because, you know, and that's trial and error. You know, you come across in your journey in this world, across some that you treat good, they're going to treat you worse than the stepchild, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you learn it. That ain't the one. Treat it good. Don't give up a walking pace.
Okay.
Keep on going. But a lot of men, like, but you know, in my time, you know, I've been through it all. What time is? Do you like this?
Oh, yeah. You get all the questions. 21 you know, questions, of course.
Trying to find which one goes, you know.
Right.
But, and believe me, about 10 years, you know, I was divorced from my first wife. I've been, you know, two times, and I can taste this third one. It's so close in the making. And I spent about 10 years, you know, trying to find my right, I'm, you know, what you like to eat, what's your style, this and that, and everything like that. And sometimes, you know, right, some things work out, but then bam, it's something, you know, we all together.
Mm-hmm.
People say to do the thing, they say, you know, Gemini with this and ties with that and all that, this, right? You trying to find the ties. And
right. And
so after 10 years, right, I was still thinking I was divorced. I just gave it.
Mm.
I said, no, what I'm going to do, I'm wasting my time. You know, I could be doing other things all this time.
You gave up on chasing after women?
That's right. So what I did, I said, a lot. You know the type of woman.
All right, now.
You know exactly the right one. You know, I said, and you control everything. I said, what I'm going to do, I'm just gonna get up there in the morning, be good, live a good life, do much good deed, everybody, whatever, right? I ain't gonna even look for them. I say, you bring that to me. You know?
Yeah.
I say, I'm just gonna be good, live a good life every day, right? I ain't gonna waste no time. What sign you is? And I say, you know exactly the right one.
Mm-hmm.
I say, you bring it to me. I say, when you bring it to me, you let me know. That's the one.
All right. Okay.
You know.
All right, my brother right here. What's your name, brother?
Abbas.
Abbas? Uh-huh. Okay, he want to hop in on the conversation.
Yeah.
All right, good evening, everyone.
Good evening, good evening.
I've been listening and you're talking about men and women.
Mm-hmm.
I have been told in my study that men mean mind and women mean the womb of mind. When you come here, do we have a mind? Our mind is created to our environment. I can say men mean mind and women mean the woman's mind. The woman first demands on the mind and to the earth. And really, the man and the woman is one. The man and woman is in me.
Mm.
If you look at science and the society is teaching in biology and science, that I have both the genes. I have the X and the Y.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
The X and Y chromosome, yeah.
Right. So if I give it my Y to a woman, my X woman, she takes one of them. Maybe she's going to birth a boy, or she's going to birth a girl.
Mm-hmm.
Is it correct? Maybe it's two X, she's going to be a girl, right? If it's an X and a Y, it's a boy.
Mm-hmm.
So I have the male in me, and I have the female in me.
Mm-hmm.
And the thinking. I have the male and the female in me, and my thinking. I heard someone say earlier, they can watch this.
Mm-hmm.
A male said that.
Yeah.
A woman. A woman can, right now, grab cars, buses, and even work on construction jobs.
True.
A man does that. So we're talking about an individual, a man and a female, a male and a female, I should say, has been separated. God made it separate to come get back together as from the beginning. And if I go deeper than that, I would say, man, this means mine. But man not only means mind, he's that which uses.
Mm-hmm.
We use our mind, right?
Yes, sir.
Anything we begin using, we touch, we feel, we move, we in control. So I just want to say, I've been listening to some beautiful minds tonight. And it really has grown me and grown up the two ethics in to be more kind to the female.
Cool.
You try to be a man to be more guided and then to be a controller. I don't believe in being a controller. It's freedom. That's a different quality in the relationship. And if freedom and just the quality is administered in the relationship,
right, right.
So, it's a beautiful conversation, brother.
Appreciate it, brother.
I learned a lot. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. All right, we got Mr. D. We got Mr. D on the line. We doing it old school. Mr. D, your line is open.
Turn it down.
Turn it down.
How you doing, sir? How you doing there? Gentlemen,
good.
How you doing?
So nice to see you gentlemen out there. I'm sorry I'm a little bit late tonight. I had a whole bunch of, I got thousands and thousands of kids, and they all wanted to be around me this weekend. You guys are talking about the behavior of the men, the real men.
Yes, sir.
Sorry, how you doing? How you doing, Mr. King, King Anthony? How you doing, sir? Well, today there's not too many men, and I'm speaking this hypothetically, there's not too many men that are actually portraying themselves to be men in front of the young guys walking around with the pants down to the ankles.
Come on.
I see gentlemen not as old as I am, you know, because I'm 300 years old, but I see gentlemen not as old as I am. They walking around with their hats on sideways, got their pants down to the ankles. And, you know, so what kind of role model is that for the young men to look at? I mean, you see a cat over here about 80, 90 years old. He got his pants down to his ankle with his railroad tracks and his boxers, you know. And what kind of example is he showing the young man to be?
He's not.
Yeah, so, you know, they call us old school, but a lot of the young guys, I can see why they flunked out of school. They're not listening to old school tell them how it's supposed to be. And that's a whole lot of young guys run around here getting themselves in trouble, and it's just ridiculous, man. How you doing, Mr. Cappy? I'm going to go ahead and grab me a Pepsi real quick. Hey, y'all got a nice show going so far.
Mr. Cappy got a bag of Pepsi.
Yeah, I'm going here and give me a cup of cubes of ice and knock down his Pepsi. So y'all keep on going. I'm listening.
Okay. Hey, you know what? You know what, gentlemen? I have to say that Mr. D did bring up a very good point. Is that, you know, a lot of our younger generation, they feel that the older generation has failed them. Because they, you know, we haven't been really giving them the jewels. But then, on the other hand, some of these young guys, you can't hardly tell them nothing without them wanting to pull out their gay. Come on.
There's blame to be had on both of us. Me for not telling you, and you for not listening when I try.
Mm-hmm.
So there's blame to be passed around. But that's not where my head is. My head is now, I know we've messed up. I know they're messing up.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do from this day forward, sir? How can we get beyond our past mistakes?
Right.
Am I guilty of not doing what I should have done? Absolutely. There's no question about that. But sitting here discussing that's not helping either one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I want to move up forward. Mm-hmm. I don't want to look back.
Yes,
I want to know, what can we do tomorrow to stop this nonsense?
Yes.
Stop us from killing one another like dogs.
Yes, sir.
I'm a gangster and can't even see straight and kill some little innocent child. That is ridiculous. Oh. But we're doing it every day. We've got to move forward.
Absolutely. Dwayne?
That goes back to what's been the topic of discussion over the week about moving like straight dogs.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you have men moving that way, you have women moving that way. But the fact of the matter is, it goes back to the protection thing. So Mr. Cappy talked about the beginning. Okay, what do we know about the beginning? The man had, as you know, Dr. Miles Monroe so eloquently put it, he was in God's presence, God gave him responsibility. He cultivated that responsibility, that territory. Anything that came into his hands, he cultivated. He made it better. You know, he added to it. He didn't allow opportunities to slip through. And so one of the greatest opportunities, the most essential opportunity is the woman. Because you give her a word, she's going to make it a sentence. You give her a home, she's going to make it a house. The staff is talking about the blinds and curtains. You give her a seed, she makes a children. You know what I'm saying? So that's
the number one thing, because people always think that it's going to be some kumbaya by Yah moment or something like that. It just starts in the house. Be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And there's a lot of guys that, because they don't understand what they have on their hands, they think it's just about laying down.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get up, what are you? You lay down so physical, see. You let loose the royal semen. But did you, now when that woman is needing your knowledge, your wisdom, everything else, do you really have something to transfer to her? Because that's the other seed you're supposed to be sowing. And because most of them are just scattered grain all over the place, you got these men walking around with hands up, hanging off their hand like they're catamites. You know, it's you know, everything, like Mr. Kathy said, is the wrong impression is being put out there.
Mm-hmm.
So now you got the men advertising the thing. You got the women advertising the thing. And everybody wants this equality stuff. Everybody that wants the roles to be gone. Until, you know, when it's convenient.
And that's what I was saying, Dwayne, is that we you know, yes, I would love to, you know, treat the women right. I mean, seriously, but then we had that situation where this woman, she wanna do whatever she wanna do, and I'm like, no, it just don't go that way.
She pulled herself from protection that way.
My people suffer from a lack
of knowledge.
We need to learn from one another. If I have some knowledge, I need to share it with you. If I have a method of doing something better, I need to share that with you. But we have become so, this is why I say that mess that you hear philosophers and all of these people saying about you got to love yourself before you can love anybody. That is one of, that's a lie straight from the pits of hell. I need to learn how to love you. I already am selfish enough and think about myself too much.
Right.
I'm already standing in front of the mirror like a moron 24/7. I don't need to look at that idiot. What I need to do is focus on God and do exactly what he says. Take care of my brothers and my sisters.
Right.
Best I can. Are they going to appreciate it? Maybe, sometimes, and even if they don't, do it anyway. Lean over, bend over backwards to help my brothers and sisters. Brother,
we are
suffering and dying every day, and it's sickening to me.
Man.
When I turn on the TV, I start trembling. All I can hear about is how us done killed some of us.
Right.
I'm sick and tired of it. And if I can do anything to help my brothers and lift them up, and get them morally and spiritually uplifted, I'm going to do just that. I don't care what it does to me. I'm going to do for my brother, because I ain't going to be here that long, no how. Me and Brother Charles, I don't know how many days, months, years we got left, but we're going to do our best to promote and to push young black men to do better.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, I got about a couple more questions. Were you here, though?
Yeah, one more thing. On the activities that we be witnessing and all you on the day. And as I said earlier, men on your mind, black men back. We cannot act outside the words that are reflecting our mind. Or we do not think outside the words and things that reflect our mind. So our behavior is based upon our thinking. The words that had been placed in our mind. In other words, we didn't know our name until someone told us our name. As a little baby, everything we knew, someone had put a word into our mind. Now, when we look at TV, get a newspaper, and read the newspaper, everything's going on, there are words being fed to us. And a lot of times, and this is evolving society we have, we have all kind of words out here. The kids are steady feeding from the environment. Feeding from the environment. TV, the radio, the newspaper. Everything is creating a mind. Good words create good mind. Bad words in the individual create different type of behavior. So the brother mentioned that the pants are down below the ankle. Well, call it. It has to be a word that enters the mind. That
people think about words. Words make an individual. If you think good, 9 out of 10 times you're going to do right. If you think bad, you're going to do wrong. So it's the words that we, that follow, that we think about. And how the words get into us? Through TV, newspaper. You go to the movie, you see a gangster shoot somebody. That's what it's at. And they go by it. We have our children that sit there. A little 12-year-old, 10-year-old, 15-year-old. When the black consciousness came in with the super fly and all that, that changed a lot of things. Them words.
Dwayne said,
about the purpose that the woman will fall in line with the purpose and everything. And that's the way you're going. The woman is going to be not even interested in you, and you may not even be interested in her. But there's a woman that's there that lacks the same thing that you lack.
The same thing that you're doing.
When she wants to do that, you don't look outside of the yard or across the fence. Your wife is right there.
Yes,
that's where your wife is, and that's where mine was. I like to do a lot of like dawa, going out and talking to people, that going to different places and delivering the message. We call it delivering the message.
Yeah.
And my wife was all cute. They're doing the same thing. She wanted to go to a meeting. She wanted to travel. She wasn't traveling with me. She traveled with somebody else. We all meet up at the same place. She liked to do the same thing I like to do. She liked to pray like the same way I like to pray. She likes to read. She likes to read the book like I like to read the book. And nobody's telling her to do these things. She's doing the things that I like to do, but I'm not even looking at her and what she's doing. And she's probably not even paying attention to what I'm doing. We all just there. But then when time comes to I became a singer, then all of a sudden she was singing, and then she began to look, knowing that she needs to get a husband. So now she's looking for a husband. She ain't looking for a husband outside. She's looking for a husband on the inside.
Mm.
And that's what she was doing. She was looking for me. But I didn't see it at the time, when she saw me first. I wasn't looking at that direction. But she saw me and got my attention. And it was like, I said, and so once she got my attention, and then I began to, she would call me on the phone. And everything. When she called, and all of a sudden God called me to hear something in her voice. And I told her, I think I heard my wife, man. I had no intention. I had no intention of getting married. I'm an older fellow man, and I figured I had my last wife.
Mm-hmm.
But then she called me on the phone, and what she was talking on the phone, I heard her. I heard something else in what she was talking. And I told her, brother, man, I heard my wife talking.
Right on.
And we ended up getting married. And I told her, I said, and I took up over another friend, and we go look after the sick. And I told her, I'm getting married to this woman right here. And she didn't even know I was going to get married. She told us, she said, y'all getting married? She said, I don't know nothing about it.
Put it out there. That's it. You got to claim it.
She's worth more to me than $1 million. I said, if you gave me $1 million, I'd take her.
Give some advice to the young man, but what's your name, brother? Esau? Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
Just to make a comment on what the brother said, like he said he heard something, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I looked in the eyes and I saw a spark,
mm-hmm.
And it is.
Yes, sir.
But what I want to say back to the young men and things, we got to stop killing each other.
Yes, sir.
Right? We got to start working together. Now, I'm going to make this short. You take the brothers out here that's out there into the hustle, right, doing, buying merchandise, reselling it, drugs, whatever mm-hmm. case might be, right?
Yeah.
But you look at that, and I say, these are entrepreneurs. They already in business.
Mm-hmm.
It is in the wrong merchandise that they're right. buying and selling. But they got the secret. They buying enterprise.
Yeah.
They reselling enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
They make a profit, right? It's just what they're selling.
Right.
Now, they
right.
take that same energy and knowledge and they went to school most of them to learn how to be a business manager. And, you know what I'm saying? It's just a natural thing, you know, growing up in the environment. But they take that same energy, knowledge, and understanding, and so they're making money. So they've got a startup thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, to get into something. But see, the benefit, they help, you know what I'm saying, and not destroy. They got the, man, we should, it ain't no, and anyway, we spend, we really is, how they say it, keeping the world go round.
Mm-hmm.
We spending the most money, right, on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Gas, electricity, all that food. Everyone was, and I was spending, the farmers would be out of it over in China and all these places, you know, and with the right cup, we wouldn't be buying. If we just stop, if we stop spending money on anything, hey, what they call it, a depression?
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to. But it was a design planned out thousands of years ago that got us, and it's still being, it's still working to keep us, that put us in this position. This ain't something that just one morning we had the money, this morning we go, but we acted crazy. It's years and years
mm-hmm.
of stuff. You know, they set back, somebody did, I don't know when, how many years, and they planned it out. They know they weren't going to be around, but they're going to have their children carry on the plane.
Right.
Right? Carry out the mission. This is your duty.
Mm-hmm.
See, they talk. See, that our parents, well, my parents, you know, different, but what they call this generation now, the new millennials?
Yeah, millennials.
Right?
Millennials.
Okay. Well, now, in my generation, they call my generation, what, the baby X or something. The
generation.
Boomer, baby boomer.
Baby boomers, yeah.
Right. Because we, I was thinking, I saw it come, you know, back there with the hippie movement, Make Love Not War, and the sexual revolution. Because I was coming in my 40s and stuff, where I was realizing what was going on, right? The sexual revolution was coming out.
Yeah.
These are the ones now that are shooting and killing everything. They come out of the sexual revolution.
That was during the early 70s.
Yeah. Wait. See, that's them because out of that sexual revolution, that's when we lost the parenting, the mother and father thing. See? Because it wasn't the sexual revolution. It wasn't no thing like getting married and stuff.
They was just getting it in.
You know,
don't look like that, Mr. Cappy. Don't act like you don't know, Mr.
Cappy. I'm going to say it again. The first thing for all of us to know is to know God.
Right.
Exactly. And I would like to say to the youth, before you make a decision, you think, and like you ever see that, I know you have seen before, you have they say the angel on one side of the shoulder, and the devil
on the other, yeah.
They have it like that. That thing on the word, that came into you, that think a little bit before you act. That's all it takes. It's just the right thing for me to do.
Mm-hmm.
What would y'all do? And when I see my parents, on the sex of behavior. But just think a minute, and like I said, everything that comes in our mind, it comes in our mind with words. If it was in picture, you listen to TV, you listen to music, they all are words, and that will form your thinking. Words. You cannot think outside of words.
True.
I can stomp my feet, clap my hands, and the sound comes through my ear and say, wow, somebody this stuff. They see, oh, I can break glass, and you ain't gonna see it, but you hear it, and somebody else is breaking glass.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I got to say. Think of the words that's coming into your mind first, the good words, because that's what creates your thinking and your behavior. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Brother Charles, anything else you had?
Yeah, I'd like to say, but talking about business and things like that, that's a whole thing in by itself.
But we here at the Gary Muslim Center, we have a brother here that's a professional painter, and he's teaching.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's teaching the best. He's teaching how to paint. He's giving of himself and doesn't charge anything. He just come down and you learn how to paint and everything. And then we have Mr. Kathy here, who's the carpenter.
Absolutely.
He has those skills, and he likes to deal his skills out. If he could give his skills out and train, and if he could do that, everything. Motivation. I'm like a motivator. You know, I can motivate. I was in business, I had a clothing business, and then I had on Broadway, and then I had it was small, you know. Then I had another one on 25th, up here on 25th. Not a clothing business, but I had like a little can and a little small thing, you know, that people need to get. It's not like going to a supermarket. We just, need some sugar, like that. And I went into that, but the children, they didn't, for some reason, they didn't like to see their people in business. And they would break in the store, in there, and just knock the windows out. And it broke in skeleton. Then I had to go start staying down there. I had to neglect the house, just to stay down there in the store. And I looked out the window, and I could see them tipping out there, not knowing I'm in the store and everything. So these are our children, that, like that. And then one day they broke in. It got real cloudy, and I wasn't there. And I go at night. And he got real proud that day, and they broke in the sack and went in there and took all my stuff and threw it all on the floor and rolled on the sack. If you want to know who did it, come to the project. The Almighty God has created me to be, someone that could make a business for you. I could have grew. And employed them. I could have been employing them. They right. Him or their children.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I was young then. But they killed that. They destroyed that. I said, now I'm not going to be able to do this. I stopped doing it and started going out there doing in the street and doing a dawah. You know what dawah is? Trying to get people to understand teaching like you would do. You would go out and do talk to the people and try to make them part of your religion, you know, Christian, and I'm a Muslim and everything. And so I said, what I'm trying to do is not working because they don't want that. They don't want that and everything. So we're trying to hear to see painting, and we're hard to get people, trying to get students here, and we tried, and we, Mr. Gaffey, he came and he wanted to teach carpentry. And he was hard to get people to come on and learn that and everything. And so we, the students, and we are fathers. We are fathers, grandfathers, and great-grandfathers and everything. And we have to teach the ones that's coming behind us. And we have to watch that the girls that we get, the mothers who is mothers and everything, that we get good mothers that can raise good children and everything, and the mothers haven't been raising good boys and good girls and everything.
Absolutely.
They were saying in Chicago, they were riding on the police car. Oh, what kind of job? That even my daughter, man, they wouldn't have said nothing about her because I wouldn't have got her. Now these parents have better do that and not sit back and wait for the police to see what the people are going to do, why they pull my child off the car, why they doing this and everything. You should be the one to take care of that.
Yeah.
We have to take care of our neighborhood.
Yeah, absolutely.
We want the police to come down and do what they supposed to do in a neighborhood
and they can't do it because if they do anything, then you're going to
object.
We're going to have to, and I find out now, listen to the radio and everything, that the men are talking about this. They begin to talk about what we're going to have to do and everything. We're going to have to straighten this out. The police can't straighten it out.
That's right. Come on.
We're going to have to do it.
That's right.
We're going to have to, law and order and everything. And talking about the thing that happened.
We're going to have to beat the police to the scene.
We're going to have to beat them to the scene.
Yeah.
That's why this is what we're going to have to do. So this is with men and fathers and everything. I don't know. I never did like Father's Day and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, my wife, she said, well, why don't you celebrate Father's Day? You know what I mean? I don't celebrate Father's Day and I only celebrate Great Mother's Day. They call me and stuff like that. And stuff like that. I just don't feel it, you know.
Right.
We're going to have to do what we have to do, straighten this mess out there. Somebody, the boys wearing the clothes, pants down. They learned it from the adults. They look at the adults. They walk around with their pants down every time. And they see their pants down there. Once they get it in their head, now you pull your pants up, they still got their pants down. They're dancing on to the other little guys and everything. So,
right.
We're going to have to do this for ourselves. We're going to have to straighten this thing up for ourselves. This is Gary Wilson's son. We do that, when you come at the wrong time, we can't help you. The gentleman came today. He came at the wrong time.
Yeah.
We couldn't help you. I don't carry cash. I'm legally blind. And I don't carry cash, and I don't pull out my stuff around, you know, just around anybody.
Right.
That's why I don't carry cash. So,
I'm gonna close out. Let me see if Mr. D, if he's still in there, like he's still in there, if he has something to say real quick.
Okay.
Yo, Mr. D, do you have anything else to say for?
No, not really. Wait a minute, I'm getting a little feedback here. Hang on one sec. No,
on
not really,
those.
Man. You guys, really, that looks like a whole table full of experience and wisdom and knowledge, you know.
Yes,
and I want to say that the gentlemen, they're doing a real good job there. I mean, keep on pushing them young guys. And, you know, eventually it'll go through somebody here where they need to change the setup and do that, which is right. You know, older men like myself, 300 years old and older, start showing these young guys how to treat the ladies like ladies. And hopefully some of these ladies will get it in their mind that they can't be a man, you know, so they can go ahead and
Absolutely.
Let the man be a man. And,
come on.
You know, you guys got a great show tonight. I like it. Hey, man, I'm going to have to run out of here and grab me a Pepsi. I done got a little bit low on my Pepsi now, so... Hey, you guys keep up the good work.
I appreciate it. Okay, I'm gonna close it out. I'm gonna say this. My advice to the young